And the sermon for today is titles, While You Wait, God Works. Okay, While You Wait, God Works. And the passage, the main text is Isaiah 64, verse 4. It says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ears has perceived, no eyes has seen any God besides you. And this is what the Word of God says, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. This sermon was inspired by Craig Rochelle, one of his sermon titled, Why is God Making Me Wait? Okay, why is God making me wait? Waiting is very difficult. It's difficult to wait. You know, nobody likes to wait in line. Nobody likes to wait in traffic. You know, our children don't like to wait for deliveries, you know. And of course, no one likes to wait for the file to finally download. You know, Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, it is important for the disciple of Jesus to learn how to wait. Because when we wait, God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. While we're waiting, God acts. And that's where I got the title, While You Wait, God Works. You know, God works. It is our inability to wait that prevents God's purpose for our life. You know, a child that doesn't know how to wait is not going to mature. Our inability to delay gratification is what causes the debt, you know, in our life. You know, conflicts, if you look at conflicts, start because we too quickly jump into judgments. We fall into sin because we do not know how to wait. Our prayer life is weak when we don't know how to wait. And Psalm 46 verse 10 says, we don't know God because we don't know how to be still. In other words, we don't know how to wait. God prepares you during the time of waiting, you know, because it takes time for God's purpose to be filled in our life. It takes time because to God, we're not instant noodle, but he calls you and me his masterpiece. You know, why do we have to wait? It's because God wants to partner with us. God wants to prepare us, God wants to work through us, and God wants to transform us. Joseph waited 13 years from receiving God's dream to interpreting Pharaoh's dream, you know, which transformed and changed everything. David waited 15 years from being anointed as a king to becoming the king of Judah. Apostle Paul waited 12 years from the road to Damascus conversion to his first missions trip to the Gentiles. Abraham waited 25 years before Isaac was born. Moses waited 40 years to see God's people free from Egypt. Woman with the issue with blood waited 12 years to be healed by Jesus. A man who couldn't walk waited 38 years, and Jesus came to him and told him to pick up the mat and walk. Jesus himself waited 30 years before he began his ministry. You know, what is God doing while we wait? You know, when God is silent, it doesn't mean God is absent or that God is not working. Think about this. You know, God's promise to redeem the world by sending a Messiah. You know, God gave this promise all the way back in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 talks about this seed from a woman. And this seed from a woman is this, you know, Jesus being born from Mary, this virgin birth through Mary. And it's talking about the Messiah. It is prophesying Mary, Jesus, and how do we know it is talking about this? It's because God tells the serpent, this seed from the woman, he will crush your head. meaning there will be victory, sin will be conquered, the devil will be defeated. You know, and then what happens? Well, centuries pass. God continued to prophesy the coming Messiah. You know, it's throughout the Old Testament, but I'm just going to pick out a few, you know, that was significant. You know, God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, in Genesis 22. He tells Abraham to go to the region of Moriah. Why is that significant? Because it is in that region Jesus is to be crucified. Moriah, Mount Moriah, is going to be in the future. And Isaac, who is supposed to be sacrificed, but God stops Abraham. And what does God do? God himself provides a lamb for the burnt offering. Again, it's talking about the Messiah, about Jesus. The promised Messiah hasn't come yet, but we see God is moving. Well, what happens? Centuries pass, okay? Centuries, hundreds of years, and the Messiah doesn't come. But God continued to show that he loves, you know, the people of the world. And when I look at the book of Jonah, God sends Jonah to preach to Nineveh, a sinful Gentile city. The Messiah has not come yet, but God is still moving. The city repents, and there's a revival in the city of Nineveh. But not just the city, not just the world, the city. You know, God tells Elijah in the First Kings, book of First Kings, chapter 17. God tells Elijah to go to this widow at Zarephath. You know, and Zarephath was a region of Sidon. And Sidon is where Jezebel is Jezebel's hometown, who introduced Baal worship to Israel. And God tells Elijah, a prophet of God, to go into that region. And in the midst of this severe famine, God supernaturally feeds a Gentile widow and her son. Right? So God is moving in the world. God's moving in the city. God's moving in a house, a widow and her son. And then what happens in the Old Testament is that there was this period of 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is kind of is known as the 400 years of silence. Okay? Meaning there was no word from the Lord for 400 years. For 400 years, there's no word from the Lord. No sign that God was active. No sign that he cared. It was a period of silence. Okay? And what happened, though, during that 400 years of silence? Well, what does history say? That between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Alexander the Great conquered the entire world. Okay? The Greek became the common language of the whole world. Old Testament was translated into Greek. Roman then conquered the Greeks. And there was this period of peace. And the Romans, what they did was develop roads throughout the world. And during that time, it was called diaspora, where the Jews were dispersed throughout the modern world. They were in every major cities now, the Jews. And what just happened with what happened during that 400-year period? Right? In that period where people call, you know, 400 years of silence, where God did not speak a word. What was God doing during that 400 years? God, the world was prepared for the gospel, for the good news. The good news of a savior was now ready to cross different culture with the common language. All the cultures were connected, and the gospel was ready to be spread. And then we see in the book of Matthew, Jesus is born. And then he redeems the whole world. He went through his work on the cross. And we see in the book of Acts, God raises up Paul, who could speak Greek and who was a Roman citizen, that goes into all the major cities and spread the gospel. God was silent, but he was still working. Amen. And, so my challenge to you for this sermon is don't waste your waiting. Okay. Can you speak that to the people around you? Don't waste your waiting. Okay. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. It doesn't mean doing nothing. Jesus commanded his disciple to wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay. It didn't mean they just sat there. Okay. But what we see, the disciples of Jesus, is not that they didn't do anything. During that time, Peter rose up as the main leader of the group. There was teaching. They devoted themselves to the word. They chose a leader, Matthias, to take place of Judas. They constantly met for prayer. They ministered to one another. They loved one another. There was fellowship. They kept themselves pure. They maintained their spiritual hunger. They continued to walk in their faith. They walked in faith. You know, waiting in the Bible, we see Noah waited 120 years for the flood. But in that meantime, he built an ark. God prepares people. You know, God's people was waiting in the wilderness for 40 years. They waited in the but what did God prepare them in the wilderness? They learned how to fight. They learned how to work together. They learned how to walk in faith. So when they went into the promised land, they could conquer the promised land. Abraham's faith was built while he was waiting for Isaac to be born. Joseph learned how to interpret dreams, you know, and also learned how to run a house and the prison in the most difficult circumstances while he waited to be set free. David learned to lead an army and learned to lean on the Lord while he waited 15 years to become a king. While Apostle Paul waited for his first missionary trip, he learned how to evangelize, to show people Christ in the Old Testament, learn how to walk in the supernatural, develop love for people of every culture before he went on his first missionary trip. In the time of waiting, you learn to depend on God. You learn to wait for God's timing. You learn to walk God's way and not your own way. You learn to walk out his purpose and not your own purpose. How do you know if you have a pure motive when you serve, when you do ministry, or when you serve others? How do you know that you have a pure motive? Those who don't know how to wait, well, you know what I see? They have their own agenda, own ambition. It is about position, driven by fear of people, driven by desire to please people and not God, those who do not know how to wait. David knew how to wait. And in the waiting, David was prepared to become a king. Two times, David could have immediately become king by killing Saul, but David spared Saul's life. It was Saul who was keeping him down, making his life miserable. It was because of Saul, David had to run away from home and the palace. And, you know, 1 Samuel 26, his servant says, you know, there was that opportunity to kill Saul. God has given Saul into your hand. Let's kill him. And David said, no, leave him be. The Lord himself will do it. I am not going to make myself king. I will wait for God to lift me up. I will wait for God to make me king. Because he knew how to wait, David became the greatest king in the nation of Israel. What is God doing when you are waiting? When God is silent, it doesn't mean God is absent. Right? While you are waiting, God is working. God is always working, working in all things. God loves you and he wants to bless you. God's delay is not God's denial. Some of you are waiting for an answer, for a miracle, for provision, for a relationship, for a calling, for a purpose. God has has not forgotten you. God is working. God hasn't stopped working. During this time of waiting, maybe God is teaching you to depend on Him like you never had before. Maybe He's teaching you patience. Maybe chipping away at something in your life that you're holding on to that's not good for you. Maybe God is drawing close to you, wanting a deeper relationship with you. Maybe first God has to heal the deep brokenness. You know, maybe God wants to connect with you more. You know, when you wait on God, He moves on behalf of you. That's what our main text says. God is not ignoring you. He loves you. God might be silent, but He is not absent. While you wait, God is working. Every other religious system, every other religion, if you think about it, you try to win the favor of God by doing good works, by following rituals. If you are good, you have favor with God. If you're bad, you lose favor with God. Christianity, I think, is the only religion that's different. We serve a God who pursues us, who works in us. And, you know, again, the main text, really blessed be, you know, the verse of the day in my Bible app, 1 Corinthians 13. God's love always protects, always trust, always hopes, always persevere. You know, that blessed me because I was thinking of my failure. And in the midst of my failure, when I felt like God should not be with me, that's when I saw Him protect me. When he says He trusts me, He hopes, He perseveres, He forgives, He redeems, and He gives me new life. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5 says, but when the set time had fully come, at the right time, when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. In the right time, God sent His Son, not for the righteous, but for sinners. The gospel is for those who are sick, broken, and in bondage. We serve a God who heals and sets us free and who redeems us. You know, many have different view of God. Like some people might think God is harsh and demanding. God is not patient, meaning God can't wait. He doesn't know how to wait. The moment we make a mistake, God has to punish us or make our life miserable. But Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says this, or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? You know, with our sin, with your sin, the law is very impatient with you, right? Is very impatient. There is no waiting. But God is different. God waits. God is patient. God took His time to work out the perfect redemption. Instead of law, God shows kindness. And how does He show kindness? He waits. God sent His only Son to die for our sin. It is in God's waiting, you and I see that the solution to sin is not work and performance. It does not come by the law. The real solution is His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. A lot of time we get maybe disillusioned or we get mad at God because it's taking too long. you know, and I fall into that trap too. And but it's because He loves us. It takes His time. Because He loves us. Can you imagine if Joseph, you know, right after he got the dream, you know, next week he's in Egypt and he has to, yeah, he wouldn't know what to do with the famine. He would not have known. He wouldn't know what to say. He wouldn't know how to interpret the dreams. Yeah, he wouldn't know. You saw Moses. He didn't know how to deliver God's people out of slavery. He was upset as a prince of Egypt, but he didn't know what to do. He got kicked out of Egypt. He had to run away from Egypt. While you wait, God works. Even though He might be silent, He's not absent. Don't waste your waiting. Don't waste it. So just ask for the, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, during this pandemic, during this still some lockdown here and there, while we are stuck at home, during this time, God, as we wait, show us what You are doing. Show us what You want me to do. Maybe he wants you to depend on Him like you never had before depended on Him. This is the time to water your spiritual life, not to watch Netflix. Maybe it's a time to purify your heart, cleanse your heart. Maybe it's time to work on your marriage. Ask the Lord, well, during this time of waiting, what do You want me to do? Thank You, God. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody here. God wants to give you this peace. There's a lot of things that the anger is building up in your heart, frustration. God wants to replace that with this peace that transcends all understanding, that will guard your heart and mind. During this time, He wants to transform you. Somebody here, God saying, okay, you know, right now, like, I see you with a magnifying glass, what, you know, looking at other people. But instead, He wants you to look at Him, look at the Lord. And when you see Him, look into His face, and He's smiling over you. He's smiling. Other people frustrate you, but God wants to comfort you. Other people discourage you, but He wants to encourage you. I just proclaim, while I wait, God, You are working. You're not absent. I don't want to waste my waiting. During this time, You're going to do the greatest work. While God was silent for 400 years, He was changing the whole world to prepare the whole world for the gospel. The old is gone, the new is here. Believe with me. You know, the enemy has lied to us. The old is so strong, so powerful. It controls. It's too much. No. The old is gone, the new is here. The new is here. Just proclaim, I am a new creation in Christ. I am a new creation. In the midst of lies, we need the truth. And we need to proclaim the truth. I am a new creation. Thank you, God. Thank you. Once again, let's bless the moms. Okay? Husband, bless your spouse. Bless your wife. Thank you, God. And we just proclaim over your daughters, Lord, the old is gone, the new is here. The new has come. The new is moving. The new will overcome the old. Thank you, God. Thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.